Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. United Artists Pictures, Incorporated. Seattle, 1988. In slow motion, armed police officers pour out the back of a van and onto a suburban street. A man hosing down his car watches, stunned, as officers charge across a well-kept front lawn and up to a white-faced house. An Alsatian dog barks at them. The officers surround the house. Inside, a woman is setting out a breakfast table.
Upstairs!
What's going on? What's the matter? Who are you?
Come on, let's go!
Hey!
Come in the back!
Dave!
Knock it down.
The defendant, Dade Murphy, who calls himself Zero Cool, has repeatedly committed criminal acts of a malicious nature. This defendant possesses a superior intelligence, which he uses to a destructive and antisocial end. His computer virus crashed 1,507 systems, including Wall Street trading systems, single-handedly causing a 7-point drop in the New York stock market.
Dade Murphy, I hereby fine your family $45,000 and sentence you to probation, under which you are forbidden to own or operate a computer or touch-tone telephone until the day of your 18th birthday.
Dade, an 11-year-old boy, flinches at the sentence. United Artists Pictures presents an Ian Softly film. Dade and his mother emerge from the courthouse, surrounded by reporters. Johnny Lee Miller, Angelina Jolie, Fisher Stevens, Jesse Bradford, Matthew Lillard, Lawrence Mason, Renoli Santiago, Wendell Pierce, Alberta Watson, and Lorraine Bracco. Dade and his mother are bundled into a car, surrounded by clamoring reporters and flashing cameras. Dade sits in the back seat, shielding his face from the frenetic camera flashes and the leering faces peering through the car window. 7 years later, a jumbo jet soars high above the clouds. Inside the plane, a stewardess strolls down the aisle. Dade is sitting by the window, now a handsome young man with bleached blonde hair. He's wearing a pair of headphones and has his face turned towards the window. New York City, the skyline crowded with monolithic buildings. Written by Raphael Moreau. Dade stares down at the city with a melancholic look on his face. Directed by Ian Softly. Now moving slowly over the city, the buildings transforming into luminescent microchips, the streets into circuit boards, alive with electrical signals. Hackers. Now Dade is sitting in a darkened room, wearing a pair of shades, as he types on a computer keyboard.
Dade?
Yeah, Ma?
What are you doing?
I'm taking over a TV network.
Finish up, honey, and get to sleep. And happy birthday.
OTV Studios.
Security, Norm.
Norman speaking. Norman, this is Mr. Eddie Vedder from accounting. I just had a power search here at home that wiped out a file I was working on. And
listen, I'm in big trouble. You know anything about computers?
Gee.
Right, well, My BLT drive on my computer just went AWOL, and I got this big project due tomorrow for Mr. Kawasaki, and if I don't get it in, he's gonna ask me to commit Harry Carey. Yeah, well, you know these Japanese management techniques.
Could you read me the number on the modem? It's a little boxy thing, Norm, with switches on it. Let's my computer talk to the one there.
212-555-4240.
Now Dade is typing on his computer keyboard, concentrating fiercely. A rapid succession of TV images flash before his eyes. The opening titles of The Twilight Zone, a football game, war footage. A little later, his computer monitor flashes with the words, entering ARPS 331.
So-called American Indians, Latinos, and blacks come from a genetically mediocre stock.
Yak, yak, yak. Get a job.
And I am.
Dade punches a key on his computer. In the OTV control room, a robotic arm ejects a videotape from the machine.
Say I'm a...
The TV program cuts off. Now the robotic arm extracts another tape from a tall stack of videos. It discards the ejected tape and inserts the new one into the machine. Watching TV, Dade cracks open a can of soda, a smile spreading across his face.
You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Hey, what?
A message on Dade's computer screen reads, "You have tread upon my domain and must now suffer. Who are you?"
Zero. No, wait.
He types, crash override. Who wants to know? The reply reads, acid burn.
Unbelievable.
There is time only for fear.
A hacker.
Another message. Acid burn says leave before you are expunged.
Yeah, okay, acid burn. That's enough.
In the OTV control room, two robotic arms fight over a tape, snatching it away from each other. Another message from Acid Burn reads, "I will swat you like the fly you are." The robotic arms grapple frenetically over the tapes. Another message from Acid Burn, "I will snap your back like a toothpick." Dade taps a message onto the screen. "Mess with the best, die like the rest." Dade's mind flashes with images of fighting gladiators and swooping World War II planes. Final message from Acid Burn reads, "You are terminated." The next morning.
Morning. You unpack your stuff yet? Up all night again, huh?
Can this wait until both of my eyes are open?
His mum's on the phone.
Can I cut the electricity to his room so he'll sleep normal hours? He's been playing with his computer all night for a solid week. Well, yes, he could be playing with himself. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'll ask. Dade, you like girls, don't you?
Yeah, just haven't found one as charming as you yet.
You haven't been doing anything stupid, right, Dade? Right, Dade?
Right, Mom. And I'm still a virgin.
He slams the bathroom door. Dade's mother, Lauren, gets up and crosses the living room, which is cluttered with boxes. She heads into Dade's room and a few moments later storms back out and strides over to the bathroom door.
You hooked it up to the phone, didn't you? Dade, turn the shower off. You screw up again and you won't get into college.
Dade stands in the shower, his hair foamy with shampoo. Lauren sits down on the sofa, sighing exasperatedly.
I'm sorry we had to move in your senior year. I didn't want to sell the house, but I had to take this new job. You know that. You're going to love New York, the city that never sleeps.
Now soaring high over the Manhattan skyline, then the strobing neon lights of Times Square. Dade climbs the steps from his basement flat, then takes off down the street on a pair of rollerblades. Dade glides across the forecourt of a large school building, then makes his way through a corridor bustling with high school students. His rollerblades are slung over his shoulder and he's clutching a sheet of paper in one hand. He approaches a boy, talking on a payphone.
Excuse me?
Yo, chill, man. I'm talking to Venezuela.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just looking for the principal's office.
Sorry, I can't help you, kid.
Looking helpless, Dade wanders off down the corridor. A little later, he's sitting at a desk in a large office, filling in a form. He glances around nervously at the other students.
You have your transfer forms.
Dade looks stunned by a young woman.
It's a relatively straightforward question.
He stares at her luscious lips, then thinks of comic book heroines and romantic film kisses.
Do you speak English?
Sorry. You wanted...
I wanted transfer forms.
He hands her his form. She smiles at him, then shakes her head and walks to the other side of the room while he remains seated.
Are you coming?
He hesitates for a moment, then picks up his bag and rollerblades and follows her out of the room. Now they're walking down a corridor.
Jim, is through there. In the cafeteria, is through there.
Great. Cool.
Dade's trailing behind by a few steps.
What's your name?
Kate Libby. Is your class?
My class? You mean I'm not in your class?
No, you're not in my class.
Kate smiles, then heads off.
Give me time. Hey, you know? Yeah. How about the pool, Kate? Pool?
Yeah, there's an Olympic-sized swimming pool up on the roof. Take the stairs over there.
Yeah. Sure. Thanks.
Dade comes out onto the roof.
Hey, hold the door!
As the door slams behind him, the other students grimace in frustration.
No pool.
While the other kids lean over the terrace wall looking for help, Dade tries the door handle. He looks up at the sky as rain starts to fall. Later, Dade's walking down the corridor, drenched, his wet shoes sloshing on the floor and leaving muddy footprints. He spots Kate and thinks of an old film in which a man is strangling a woman.
Oh my God, he found the pool.
In IT class.
Now I'm Mr. Simpson. And I'm subbing for Miss Bayless, who was arrested at the anti-fur rally. I know some of you kids got computers at home, but these are school property, people, and I don't want to see any gum stuffed in.
Dade has hacked into the school records and transferred himself into Kate's class. Sitting behind him, a fellow student, who Dade asked for directions, has been watching his every move. Now, outside.
So, what's your interest in Kate Libby, eh? Academic? Purely sexual?
Homicidal?
What's up, man? I'm the freak. The phantom freak? The king of 9X?
I got it.
I know you play the game. Joey, one more dude at you and I'm gonna slap it out of you, okay? Now I try to save you from yourself, but you gotta stop letting your mama dress you, man. You hopeless. Dude, check it.
I need a handle, man. I mean, I don't have an identity until I have a handle.
You know you're right about that. Check it, Friday.
Freak gives Dade a flyer emblazoned with the word Cyberdelia.
Wait, how about the master of disaster, huh?
You're hopeless, man. Utterly hopeless.
Ultra laser. Dr. Doom.
Nighttime. A street bustles with market traders selling a range of paraphernalia from computer hardware to LP records. Dade glides by on his rollerblades, slowing down to watch the salesman at work.
Any kind of format, any kind of disc, any bootleg speech zone, you know?
Check this out, each and every one of you. Compilation tape, my own making. I call this the greatest Zooks album, featuring artists like, well, I got some Hendrix on there, some Joplin, Mama Cass, Belushi, all great artists that have fixated on their own vomit.
Oh, nice.
You can't get this in stores, man.
I made all major transactions.
Inside the Cyberdelia Club, rollerbladers sweep down a racing ramp. freaks on the phone.
Please deposit $5 for the first minute.
He plays a tape.
Thank you.
No. Thank you.
Dade glides into the club. He spots Kate on the other side of the room playing a video game on a huge screen. Dade slides down the ramp towards her. Kate stares fiercely at the screen, gripping the controls as she guides a bouncing ball along a multicolored channel. She flinches as the ball misses the target, and the game displays her final score of over a million.
That's a nice score for a girl.
Think you can do better?
I'll give it a shot.
She steps aside and lets Dade take hold of the controls. As Dade steers his ship along a channel, a boy looks down at them from an upper level.
Is this kid bothering you, Kate?
Sorry, can I get some room here?
Yeah, why don't you come up here?
Kate joins the boy on the raised platform. He puts his arm around her and gives her a kiss. Dade stares intently at the computer screen, immersed in the game. As he sweeps along the winding gully, dodging obstacles, his hands deftly manipulating the controls. Lasers fire at him from every angle, but he sweeps past them and speeds towards the finish line, steering a bouncing ball into the target, which causes a massive explosion.
He's good.
Freak comes to watch in amazement as Dade's score smashes Kate's and takes its place at the top of the pile.
Well, it looks like I'm on top.
Looking disgruntled, Kate walks off.
Congratulations. No one's ever beat her before. Just made an enemy for life.
Freak turns to Joey.
Boy meets world. Let's go.
Outside, Kate and her boyfriend are straddling a motorbike, kissing passionately. Dade, Freak and Joey stroll out of the club, coming to a halt when they notice the two lovers locked in their embrace. Dade watches them enviously.
Who's that?
Curtis.
And what's he do?
That's it, you're looking at it. He just looks slick all day.
Curtis puts on his helmet.
Joey!
Kate glances over at Dade, and he looks away. Curtis and Kate roar off on the motorbike. Now the glowing red digits on a clock turn from 4:16 a.m. to 4:17 a.m. Dade is sitting at his computer, staring intently at the screen as he taps away on the keyboard. He brings up a blueprint of the school building, then sets a sprinkler test for 9:30 a.m. The next day, he's standing in the school corridor.
What's up?
Dade's looking at his watch. He opens an umbrella and raises it above his head.
Oh my God.
It's pandemonium as school kids scramble out of their classrooms and charge down the corridor, covering their heads with books.
Pool on the roof must have a leak.
Kate is soaked through. She glares at Dade, then storms off. Dade saunters down the corridor, holding the umbrella above his head.
Oh man, this is gonna be good.
God gave men brains larger than dogs so they wouldn't hump women's legs at cocktail parties. Ruth Libby.
I'm not so sure your mother qualifies as a significant author of the 20th century.
Her last book sold 2 million copies.
Angel-headed hipsters burning for the ancient heavenly connection to the starry dynamo in the machinery of the night.
It's Ginsberg.
Nice, very nice.
He's not in this class.
I said give me time.
He's not enrolled in this class.
Well, he's on my list.
Kate snatches the list from the teacher. She examines it, then looks over at Dade, who shrugs indifferently.
Of all the things I've lost, I miss my mind the most.
Ozzy Osbourne.
You. What is your name?
Emmanuel Goldstein, sir.
You, however, are not on my list.
Whoa, this isn't woodshop class?
Dade looks at Kate and gives her a cheeky smile. She looks away. At home.
How was school?
What did we learn in school today?
Revenge.
Ah. Did we meet somebody special?
No. No one special.
Okay, I gotta get back to work. I'm gonna be home late. Would you try and please fill these out? Oh, don't worry. It's only the rest of your life.
Right. Anything else? You want me to mow the lawn? Oops. Forgot. New York, no grass.
And unpack.
Sitting at a kitchen table, Dade examines the envelope. A label on the front reads, application documents inside. He pushes it away. Later that night, he's at the Cyberdelia Club, sitting at a table with Freak and Joey. Emmanuel joins them.
My life story. FYI, man, right? You can sit at home and do like absolutely nothing, and your name goes to like 17 computers a day. 1984, you're right, man. That's a typo. Orwell's here now. He's living large. We have no names, man. No names. We are nameless. Can you score fry?
Meet serial killer. As in Fruit Loops. But he does know things.
Anyway, guys, listen. I'm in this computer, right? So I'm looking around.
You got those Crayola books?
Oh, yeah. Technicolor rainbow.
Yeah. Green one.
What is that? Let me see. What are these?
International Unix environments.
Luscious orange.
Computer security criteria, DoD standards. A pink shirt book, guide to IBM PCs. So-called due to the nasty pink shirt the guy wears on the cover.
What's that?
Devil book, Unix Bible.
What's that?
Dragon book, compiler design.
Yeah?
The Red Book. NSA Trusted Networks. Otherwise known as the ugly red book that won't fit on a shelf.
Anyway, guys, come on. I'm in this computer, right? So I'm looking around, you know. Throwing commands at it. I don't know where it is or what it does or anything. It's like choice. It's just beautiful, okay? Like 4 hours. I'm just messing around in there. Finally, I figure out that it's a bank. Right? Okay. So it's a bank. So, this morning, look in the paper. Some cash machine in, like, Bumsville, Idaho spits out $700 into the middle of the street.
That's kind of cool.
That was me. I did that.
You did this from your house.
What are you, stoned or stupid? You don't hack a bank across state lines from your house. You get nailed by the FBI. Where are your brains? In your ass? Don't you know anything?
Stupid, man. It's universally stupid. You guys always think I should know everything. You never tell me anything. All right.
All right, what are the three most common used passwords?
Love, secret, and sex. But not in that order, necessarily, right?
Yeah, but don't forget God. System operators love to use God. It's that whole male ego thing. Look, you want to be elite? You got to do a righteous hack.
Yeah, you want a seriously righteous hack. You score one of those Gibsons, man. You know, supercomputers they use to, like, do physics and look for oil and stuff?
Ain't no way, man. Security's too tight. The big iron?
Maybe, but if I were gonna hack some heavy metal, I'd work my way back through some low security, try the back door.
Yeah, but oh man, wouldn't you just love to get one of those Gibsons, baby? Ooh.
Yo, who ate all of my fries?
Joey?
What? No, I didn't touch your fries. I did not touch your fries. Cereal man, you owe me a pack.
No, it's him, man.
You suck, too. Yo, hey, man, you need to lay off of that. What are you doing?
Well, I hit you.
Fingers tap manically at a keyboard. Streams of numbers unravel on a monitor, now travelling through a tunnel of dense circuitry deep inside a computer. In fast motion, traffic streams across Times Square and a subway train surges through a tunnel. Now moving rapidly through a corridor and into a room containing banks of huge computer screens, the password God appears on one of the monitors. then columns of luminescent green data banks rising up on a vast motherboard. Electrical signals zip across the circuitry. Moving closer on one of the data banks reveals a stream of words. Budgets, garbage, personnel, recruitment. Joey is tapping at his computer keyboard, the data rippling across the monitor.
Yes! Home run, home run. Okay, okay, okay. You and me, Lucy. We're gonna show him, baby.
Ribbons of electricity run up and down a tower of circuitry. In the computer room, a system operator notices the intrusion and picks up the phone. A messy apartment with stairs leading to an upper level. Empty wrappers and discarded soda cans litter the floor. A hand reaches out from underneath a blanket and answers the phone.
Mr. Belford?
My name is The Plague.
Mr. The Plague, something weird's happening on the net.
As in what, you hapless techno-weenie?
The accounting subdirector in the Gibson's working really hard. We got one person online, and the workload is enough for like 10 users. I think we got a hacker.
Joey taps away at his keyboard.
Okay, we need proof that we were here. Right, yeah, garbage. Okay, give me garbage.
Selecting garbage reveals a subfolder containing confidential files. Suddenly, Joey's screen fills with strange equations and ribbons of swirling numbers. He stares at it in awe, then inserts a floppy disk into the disk drive. He starts copying the garbage file. Metal doors slide open, and Plague cruises into the computer room on a skateboard.
Never fear. I is here.
I've narrowed the activity to Terminal 23.
Let's echo 23, see what's up.
The screen displays the logo for Ellingson Mineral Corporation. Plague punches a button, revealing columns of data banks towering like skyscrapers over the motherboard. Electrical signals zip among them.
God wouldn't be up this late.
The view focuses on one of the databanks where the infiltrated files are highlighted. Garbage is flashing.
Get me the switching control center. I need to trace a call that's in progress.
Joe is still downloading the files.
Hold on, Mom. Hold on one second.
Open the door, Joseph.
Okay. There you go.
Dad, sleep. Now. Sweet dreams, Joe.
His mother switched off the computer.
He's gone.
Did you get a trace?
Yeah, we got him.
Good.
Joey extracts the floppy disk, then opens an air vent. He places the disc in a box hidden inside the shaft. Now Emmanuel, Freak, and Dade are in a hallway smothered with graffiti.
Nice place, huh?
They go over to an apartment door.
You heard of a hacker called Acid Burn? You know who he is?
No. Don't know who he is. Do you?
The door opens.
Nikon! Lord Nikon, this is...
Crash Override.
Never heard of you. Anything?
No.
Come on! I hate this
neighborhood. What, your mom buy you a pewter for Christmas? Does he know anything?
Sure, man, he's elite.
Come in.
They head into Nikon's place.
Nikon, can I crash your place tonight?
Again? Yeah, sure.
Hackers penetrate and ravage delicate, private, and publicly owned computer systems, infecting them with viruses and stealing materials for their own ends. These people,
they're Richard Gill, your hacker enemy number one, man.
Thank you, Mr.
You're a
Gill.
Boner.
Yep, showtime, showtime!
The TV cuts to a test card.
What's going on?
Four, three,
two, one!
Welcome to our show!
Hack the Planet!
Hack the Planet!
And for those late night hacks,
Joe Cola, the soft drink of the elite hacker.
Who are these guys?
It's Razor and Blade.
Find a payphone in a remote loop.
Razor and Blade?
That's right, this is a payphone.
Don't ask. As you can see, this is just a simple microcassette recorder. Hook it up to the phone and drop in $5 and quarters.
Record the tones that the coins make, and hang up and get your money back.
And never again pay for a service that would be dirt cheap.
If it weren't run by a bunch of profiteering gluttons.
Remember, hacking is more than just a crime. It's a survival trait.
Baby, I'm a real wild child, I'm a wild one.
Joey's in the shower.
Thank you very much.
He puts on a towel and pulls back the shower curtain.
Thank you! Thank you!
What?
Get out of there!
What?
Come on!
What?
Get out!
What? Joey!
Get in there!
Joey!
What?
Get in there! What?
Sit down!
Stay down there! Don't move! Don't
Lucy!
Move.
Joey!
Hey.
What are you doing?
Get in!
Joey!
Outside, a car with a flashing emergency light on the roof pulls up, while men in suits load Joey's computer equipment into a van.
How's it going, Ray?
Looks good, sir. We got an uncorrupted hard drive.
In English, please. Didn't spend 10 years protecting the president so I could finish my career feeling like an idiot.
I'm sorry, sir. We caught him by surprise, so we don't think he had enough time to erase his computer files.
Good. Good man. All right, let's finish up here. Take him in for interrogation.
All right, sir.
Agent Gill, can you spare a moment of your time?
Why, of course, Jennifer.
Joey!
Mom?
Just how dangerous are hackers?
Well, hackers penetrate and ravage delicate private and publicly owned computer systems, infecting them with viruses and stealing sensitive materials for their own ends. These people, they're terrorists.
Thank you, Mr. Gill.
Handcuffed, Joey is put into the car. Now, a towering skyscraper. Inside, a network of escalators zigzag their way up the multi-tiered interior. A woman strides into a meeting room.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Please be seated. I see we're still dressing in the dark, Eugene.
Once again, don't call me Eugene. A recent unknown intruder penetrated using a super user account, giving him access to our whole system.
Precisely what you're paid to prevent.
Someone didn't bother reading my carefully prepared memo on commonly used passwords. Now then, as I so meticulously pointed out, the four most used passwords are love, sex, secret, and God. So would Your Holiness care to change her password? A hacker planted the virus.
Virus?
Yesterday, the ballast program for a super tanker training model mistakenly thought the vessel was empty and flooded its tanks.
Excuse me?
The little boat flipped over. A virus planted within the Gibson computer system claimed responsibility.
What, it left a note?
He switches on a flat screen monitor.
Unless $5 million are transferred to the following numbered account in 7 days, I will capsize 5 tankers in the annex and fleet.
Is that?
That is the virus. Leonardo da Vinci. The problem, we don't know which ones are infected.
Well then. Put the ship's ballast under manual control.
There's no such thing anymore, Duke. These ships are totally computerized. They rely on satellite navigation, which links them to our network and the virus wherever they are in the world.
So what are we supposed to do?
I traced the hacker's call. The Secret Service picked him up this morning. I'll just search his files for the original virus code, and then I can eliminate it.
Now look, no, we expect you to get onto this right away, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, how soon?
Well, we're working on it as fast as we can. This is a very common occurrence in corporations as large as ours. You have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, right. And you sure about that,
yeah,
Mr.
Yeah, the Secret Service is helping us out 100%. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be in touch.
Hey, I'll talk to you later.
What the hell was that all about?
I had to move fast. The hacker copied my garbage file.
What?
I created Mr. Da Vinci so we could call in the Secret Service, so they'd arrest the hacker, seize his equipment, things that we can't do on our own.
I don't want to go to jail for this.
Relax. Think about the $25 million.
But you've created a virus.
that's going to cause a worldwide ecological disaster just to arrest some hacker kid?
Basically, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're sick, Eugene.
Take care of this.
All right, sir.
I can cancel at any time. I don't need any program code, but it's the perfect cover to confiscate the disk and find out how much of that garbage file's been copied.
Get it! Why did I ever trust you? Get the file, otherwise you'll lose all your toys.
The twin towers of the World Trade Center against a darkening sky. Agent Gill to Plague.
Did you find the program for the virus on any of the disks we confiscated?
No. He's either very smart or very stupid.
Then he stashed it somewhere, or he has an accomplice.
They glance at Joey behind a window.
We'll release him until his indictment. Keep tight surveillance and see if he leads us to your disk.
Joey bangs his head against the broken remains of his computer.
Unit 3 outside suspect Joey Pardillo's apartment. Nothing to report. Suspect still grounded by his mother.
This is our world now. The world of the electron and the switch. The beauty of the bond. We exist without nationality, skin color, or religious bias. You wage wars, murder, cheat, lie to us and try to make us believe it's for our own good, yet we're the criminals. Yes, I am a criminal. My crime is that of curiosity. I am a hacker, and this is my manifesto. Huh? Right? Manifesto? You may stop me, but you can't stop us all.
That's cool.
Cool?
Yeah, cool.
You think it's cool?
It's cool.
It's not cool.
Back off!
In the locker room at school.
So what do you think? I crashed your place tonight? What is it with this guy?
His parents missed Woodstock and he's been making up for it since. Hey, you hear about Joey's bust?
Yeah. Probably has something to do with that bank in Idaho.
You think he could hack a Gibson?
Did you talk to him?
Nope. His mom said he's grounded for his next 3 lifetimes. He isn't even sore with his computer friends. The Secret Service is really out to get him. Hey, there's a big party tonight. You want to go? It's at Kate's. Thought so.
Oh, yeah. Little pelvis. Woo! Little pelvis. Tim Booty. How's party? Ah!
Plague is thrashing around, wearing a virtual reality helmet. Agent Gill comes in and looks at him with a bemused expression.
What the hell are you doing? Plague!
Huh? Huh?
Plague!
Gill.
I think we got something.
Ugh. Hard copy. Dade Murphy. Think we got it!
Don't move!
Christ, what are you...
Shut up!
What are you doing?
Shut up!
Get off
me!
Get
off! Just sit in the bed and keep your hands where we can see them.
The year was 1988, and this nasty virus crashed 1,500 systems in one day.
1,507.
It got you 7 years probation. No computer, couldn't even use a touch-tone phone.
Must have been hell, huh? Zero cool. A virus has been planted in the Ellingson Mineral computer system. You were our prime suspect, till we trashed your stuff and found no trace of it.
However, we've come to believe that one Joey Pardell is involved in this Ellingson virus. He, or perhaps his accomplice, has a disk that Mr. Belford needs to disable that virus. We want you to help us find it.
Gil.
Gil and Plague exchange a glance. Then Gil heads out of the room with the two other agents, leaving Plague and Dade alone.
Loser. I can't believe you were only 11 when you wrote this. It's quite an impressive virus. Dade. I know how you might feel about narking on your friends, but we're hackers. For us, there's no such thing as family and friends. We're each our own country with temporary allies and enemies. I'd like to make a treaty with you.
I'm sorry. Who are you?
I'm the one who understands you. Now, can we be allies?
Nah. I don't play well with others.
Plague stares at Dade through steel blue eyes, then picks up a baseball bat. He shrugs nonchalantly, then turns away, and swings the bat at Dade's stereo system.
Come on!
Watch which friends you do play with. A record like yours could land you in jail, get you kicked out of school, no colleges would take you, no future. Exiled from everyone and everything you love. I'll be in touch. It's fine. Oh, and Dade, try to stay out of trouble, okay?
Smiling, Plague heads off with Gil and the two agents, leaving Dade alone in the room. Later, he's lying on his bed, staring at the ceiling. Suddenly, Kate bursts through the door. He springs up in bed. She unzips her motorcycle jacket, then pushes him back down and starts kissing him passionately. Federal agents burst through the door, pull Kate away, then handcuff Dade. As they lead him out of the room, Plague stands by the door. Dade wakes up from the nightmare. He springs upright in bed, his face sheathed in sweat. As his breathing slows, he flops back down onto the bed. Now, a large, well-furnished apartment in an elegant old skyscraper. Teenagers dance and writhe. Freak leads Dade into the living room and takes a book off the shelf.
Her mom makes big bucks writing self-help books for women. Stuff like women who love men who are emotional amoeba.
That explains a lot.
Kate weaves through the crowd. Smiling, Dade passes his drink to Emmanuel.
Yeah. Dave, man, you made it. Yeah, yeah. Houston, we have liftoff. 3 o'clock, check it.
Don't look by the waves.
Look at her, man. Look at that. Lisa Blair, 26 East 7th Street, apartment 16-555-4817.
Boom! How did you know that?
I got photographic memory. It's a curse. Lisa!
Emmanuel to Freak.
Look at that pooper, man. Spandex, it's a privilege, not a right.
Freak and Emmanuel head into the throng past Agent Ray.
Hi, my name is Vicky, and I'm an addict.
Hi, my name's Hank, and I'm an addict.
My name's Joey, but I'm not an addict. Jeez. No, really. Listen. Look. I got in trouble with my computer, right, okay? My lawyer told the judge that I'm an addict, but I'm not addicted to my computer. No. No, really. I'm not an addict. I'm not. Can I get some more coffee?
Joey walks away from the self-help group. Back at the party, Freak, Emmanuel, Nikon, and Dade are in Kate's bedroom.
Yo, check this out, guy. This is insanely great. It's got a 28.8 BPS modem.
Yeah? Display?
Active Matrix, man. A million psychedelic colors. Yeah. Man, baby, sweet.
Mm. I want it.
I want it to have my children, man. Yo, I bet it looks crispy in the dark. Yo, hit the light.
Dade turns out the light, and they stare at the screen in awe.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Streams of undulating colors. On the other side of the room, Kate and Curtis fall onto the bed. Kissing.
Yeah.
Was that her top?
One-handed.
Difficulty rating.
7.
Baby.
Wow. Burn's wet wear matches her soft wear. Burn!
What are you guys doing in here?
I'm sorry, we're sorry. Just checking out your fly laptop.
It's hyped, you know? You in the butter zone now, baby.
Huh?
Kate smiles.
Yeah, it is. I want to triple the RAM, all right?
Ooh, Leopard Boy. And the Decepticons. Kate. Kate, you're not going into that computer con now, right?
Yeah. Curtis leaves.
Yeah, right.
The sensitive type.
She spots Dade.
What is he doing in here?
Relax, Burn. He's my guest.
Burn, you're Acid Burn. You booted me out of OTV?
What?
I'm Crash Override.
Whoa. Crash and Burn.
Plague is in his apartment working on the computer. Margot comes down the stairs from the bedroom area.
Murphy kid turned you down?
I disguised myself as an Alabama state trooper and penetrated the FBI NCIC.
Pervert. What are you talking about?
He zips up her dress.
The FBI computer holds files on 20 million Americans. I just hacked into it.
Congratulations.
From here, I got access to every piece of data ever stored on Dade Murphy's parents. His parents separated 5 years ago, reconciled 2 years later, filed for divorce last year, custody battle. Boy chose to go with his mother.
So?
So, we get the mother, we get the boy.
Back at Kate's, Dade comes out of the bathroom and glances around. He hesitates, then heads down the hallway into Kate's room. He stands by the desk, then leans over her computer. Outside in the garden, Kate gazes over a sleeping city. Dade is sitting at Kate's desk, exploring her high-tech laptop. She comes in.
What the hell are you doing?
It's cool, I'm just looking.
It's too much machine for you.
Yeah?
He types frantically, bringing up multiple graphics on the screen. Dade looks flustered and anxious.
Has a killer refresh rate.
P6 chip. Triple the speed of the Pentium.
Yeah, it's not just the chip, it has a PCI bus. But you knew that.
Indeed. RISC architecture is going to change everything.
RISC is good.
She leans over the desk. He looks at her, then turns away.
Sure this sweet machine's not going to waste?
Crash Override. What was it? Mess with the best, die like the rest.
Yeah.
He stands up confrontationally.
Are you challenging me?
Name your stakes.
If I win, you become my slave.
Deal. And if I win?
Make it my firstborn.
Make it our first date.
You're not gonna win.
And you have to smile.
I don't do dates. But I don't lose either, so you're on.
He swigs from a beer can as she walks away.
So here's the deal. The chosen contest, to hassle Secret Service agent Richard Gill and get one back for Joey.
Kate meditates in the lotus position. Dade spray paints his keyboard.
Our decisions are final by a vote of 2-1. No appeals.
Kate rifles through her address book.
The duel will last until we declare a winner.
Dade plays quick draw with floppy disks.
Use only the dial-ups, access codes, and passwords in your collection. Can't ask for any help from us.
Dade, having mastered the quick draw in the mirror, looks satisfied.
Talking to me?
Any questions?
Yeah. Who's gonna notify his next of kin?
Dade and Kate shake hands. At a public phone, Kate hacks into Concourse Bank, while the other hackers mill around, standing guard. She types in the name Richard Gill and instructs the computer to invalidate his card. A waiter runs a credit card through a validation machine. The waiter returns to the table where Richard Gill is seated with a young woman. The waiter cuts the card in half with a pair of scissors, then strides away. Gill looks horrified. Now the observation deck of the Empire State Building. Dade is holding open a laptop, clutching it to his chest, while Kate taps on the keyboard. Nikon and Freak are watching. She enters Richard Gill's name, then points delightedly at her handiwork. She gives Gill 113 traffic violations.
Hey! Ah! Hey, hey, hey! You know who I am? Do you know who I am?
A cop cuffs Gill's hands behind his back. Now Dade is hacking into a computer at the phone booth. The others are keeping lookout. He finds Gill's personal records and changes his status to deceased.
This is accounting, sir. You inquired about an employee of ours, Agent Richard Gill?
Yes.
Our records indicate he's deceased.
What?
Dead.
Dead?
Yeah, like rigor mortis, habeas corpus.
Very impressive.
Superhero-like, even.
Yeah, whatever. What's the score?
Freak changes the scoreboard to 60-60.
Time.
Oh. Shut up!
Come on! Due to Mr. Gill's untimely demise and all, guess you two will have to improvise the next round.
Right. I win. You wear a dress on our date.
And if I win, so do you.
Dade considers the proposal.
Deal.
Dade, I didn't know your size, so I guessed. You are man enough to stick with the deal, aren't you?
She opens her locker to reveal a red bra and bikini bottom. Dade signs an electronic pad, then takes a box from a delivery man. Sitting in the living room, he takes out a laptop computer from the box. It has a clear plastic case. He turns it on, and Plague's face appears on the screen.
You wanted to know who I am, Zero Cool? Well, let me explain the New World Order. Governments and corporations need people like you and me. We are samurai, the keyboard cowboys, and all those other people out there who have no idea what's going on. Are the cattle. Moo. I need your help. You need my help. Let me help you earn your spurs. Think about it. Enjoy the laptop. Cool. Tell me where the disc is.
Now Joey's mom opens the door to his bedroom, where he's lying on the bed, staring at the ceiling.
You look pitiful. Okay, you're not grounded anymore.
She kisses him on the forehead, then heads out. Joey springs out of bed and opens the air vent in the ceiling. He fishes out some magazines, then feels around for the floppy disk and puts it in his pocket. Joey's nervously waiting on a wall, unaware of agents nearby.
Dude, I gotta talk to you, man. Listen. I copied it from Ellingson, okay? They're asking me about it, all right? Will you take a look for me?
Freak spots the agents.
You got a tail.
Freak and Joey run off in different directions, the agents splitting up and giving chase. Freak is at school. He sticks some gum onto the floppy disk and fastens it behind a condom machine attached to the wall. At home, Freak gathers up all the evidence of his hacking career and stuffs it in a black plastic bag. Later, Freak's asleep in bed. Outside, the red lights of emergency vehicles spin incessantly. Freak's eyes spring open and he runs onto the fire escape and looks down. In his bedroom, Richard Gill's face fills the TV screen.
I am watching you.
Freak stirs from his sleep.
Wake up. Come on. Wake up. Amano, time for school. Come on.
Deja vu.
Ray Sanchez, you're under arrest under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act of 1986.
La computadora de mierda. Que te dije, no estás jugando con esa computadora.
What are you waiting for? Arrest me already.
As Freak is led along a corridor to make his phone call, the inmates behind bars reach out and grab him, taunting him.
You get one call. Uno. Understand?
Freak puts the phone to his ear as the guard locks the bars behind him. Freak rapidly pushes the hang-up hook.
Hello, operator services.
Hello, operator. I'm having trouble dialing a number.
What number, please?
555-4202.
Just one moment.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hey, it's me.
Freak?
I'm freaking.
Joey wasn't making it up. He really hacked into Ellingson. He gave me the disc with the file he copied, and now I'm in jail.
And this stuff I didn't even do, like, get this, inserting some virus called Da Vinci?
And they keep asking about you guys.
You think they're gonna bust us?
Yeah.
You better figure out what's on that disc, because we're being framed. It's in that place where I put that thing that time.
Kate is in the male locker room, receiving wary stares from the students. She finds the disc behind the condom machine and pockets it. She notices some boys standing by the urinals, watching her. She turns back to the machine and buys a condom. She struts out, smiling sweetly. Lauren answers the door.
Hi. Oh, now I see what all the fuss is about.
Emmanuel appears behind her, and Lauren shows them both to Dade's room.
Hey, you have company.
Emmanuel and Kate shuffle into Dade's room.
It's a nice room. We need your help.
Do my ears deceive me?
Kate turns away.
No. Truce, you guys. Listen, we got a higher purpose here, right? A wake-up call from the Nintendo generation. We demand free access to data. Well, it comes with some responsibility. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's Corinthians 1, chapter 13, verse 11. No, duh. Come on.
Frank and Joey are being framed. We need your help to figure out what's on this disc.
I can't. Everybody who touches that thing gets busted. I can't afford to get arrested. I'm sorry.
Maybe she's going to the bathroom or something.
Emmanuel leaves the room and Kate closes the door behind him.
What is it with you? Well, I know we've been playing games, but we're supposed to be on the same side, and we really need your help. I really need your help.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Okay. Well, could you just make a copy of the disc? And just hide it in case we get busted, so we have something to give our lawyers, something that hasn't been tampered with. Can you do that? Listen, you guys, help yourself to anything in the fridge. Cereal has them. Thank you.
Okay. I'll copy it.
Okay, thank you.
She hands Dade the disc. Later, Plague is talking on the phone.
The girl.
The girl has the disc I need.
I told you, I don't play well with others.
Turn on your laptop. Set it to receive a file.
Dade does as he's told, then watches his mom's image appear under the words, Most Wanted.
Lauren Murphy is now a wanted felon in the state of Washington. Forgery, embezzlement, 2 drug convictions, plus she jumped parole. When she's arrested, she will not have a trial. She will not pass go. She will go directly to jail. Then I change this file back to the original, and your mom disappears.
That's bull.
What can I tell you? Computers never lie, kid. Your mom will be arrested at work.
She'll be handcuffed and later strip searched. You lay a finger on her and I'll kill you.
Kid, don't threaten me. There are worse things than death, and I can do all of them.
Dade emerges from his bedroom and finds his mom asleep on the sofa. Careful not to disturb her, he removes a notepad and pen from beside her hand, then pulls a blanket from the back of the sofa and gently drapes it over her. Now Dade's on a street corner at a payphone.
Talk to me.
I got it. But listen, Kate didn't know what's on it. I mean, she came to me to figure it out. She's not the one who planted the virus. You leave her alone.
Hey, don't worry, kid. If she's innocent, she'll be fine. Your mommy's safe now, okay?
Dade slams down the receiver, hesitates briefly, then walks away from the kiosk down a dark and deserted street. In the shadow of the Brooklyn Bridge, Dade waits, anxiously pacing up and down until eventually the headlights of an approaching car come into view. A stretch limo is drawing near, pulling a skateboarding figure alongside it. When Dade holds up the disc, Plague snatches it from his hand without stopping. Growing angry, Dade gives chase on foot, but soon gives up when the car disappears around a corner. Later, in Kate's apartment, she, Emmanuel, and Nikon are sitting at a computer monitor, examining the contents of the disc, when Dade walks in.
Kate, listen.
Hold on.
I have to tell you something.
Hold on a sec.
Look at this. It's so lean and clean.
You know, it's like a hacker wrote it.
Mm-hmm. Come here, look at this. Man, this thing is tense.
Look, that's ill, man. It's incomplete. It's taking forever and a day to figure out. Make some coffee.
Dade takes Nikon's place at the keyboard.
Tag, you're in.
As Nikon and Emmanuel stand up to take a break and Kate takes a seat by his side, Dade gets to work on the disc, focusing on the screen with a look of intense concentration. Time passes and the sky changes as day becomes night over the city. Oblivious to the others falling around behind him, Dade is completely absorbed in the computer language and mathematical formulas flashing before his eyes. Even a samurai sword-wielding Kate cannot distract him from the endless electronic equations and graphs swirling around his head. As a blood-red sun emerges from behind one of the city's skyscrapers, Dade begins the new day frantically typing away at the laptop. Nikon helps himself to a slice of leftover pizza.
It isn't a virus. It's a worm.
What's this one eat?
It nibbles. You see all of this? This is every financial transaction Ellingson conducts, yeah? From million-dollar deals to the 10 bucks that some guy pays for gas.
The worm eats a few cents from each transaction.
No one's caught it because the money isn't really gone. It's just data being shifted around.
And when the worm's ready, it zips out with the money and erases its track.
Joey got cut off before he got to that part. Check it out. By this point, it's already running at what? Twice the speed is when it started.
Right, and at this rate, it ends its run in
2 days.
Judging by this segment alone, man, it's already eaten about
21.8 million bucks, man.
Whoever wrote this needs somebody to take the fall. And that's Freak, and that's Joey, and that's us. We gotta get the rest of this file so we can find out where the money's going before the worm disappears, so we can find out who created it.
I know who wrote it.
What?
This Ellingson security creep. I gave him a copy of the disc you gave me.
You what?
Didn't know what was on it.
Oh, man. It's universally stupid, man.
Yo, man, you an amateur, man.
Why'd he come to you?
I got a record. I was zero cool.
Zero cool? Crashed 1,507 systems in 1 day? Biggest crash in history. Front page New York Times, August 10th, 1988. I thought you was black, man. Yo, man, this is zero cool!
That's far out.
This is zero cool, man!
Yo, that's great. There goes MIT.
I'll make it up!
Yeah? How?
I'll hack the Gibson.
Dude, they'll trace you like that, man. Even if you had the password, it'd take you 10 minutes to get in, and you still gotta find the files, man. I mean, the cops will have you in 5 minutes.
Oh, wow, we are fried.
Never send a boy to do a woman's job. With me, we can do it in 7.
You both screwed. I help, we do it in 6.
I gotta save all your asses. I help, we could do it in 5 minutes, man.
Okay, let's go shopping.
Woohoo!
Boom!
Below a full moon, a pair of pliers snips a hole in a chain wire fence, which Dade and Kate then slip through. Reaching a large yellow dumpster, Dade climbs inside before Kate follows, landing on top of him.
You know, if I didn't live by a strict code of honor, I might take advantage of this situation. Erotically, as it were.
He looks nervous when Kate reaches down and unzips her jacket, only to pull out a torch from one of her pockets. As they sift through the bags of computer printouts that have been piled into the dumpster, a security guard opens the door.
All right, hold right there!
Kate fires a flare from a pistol, missing the guard by inches.
My subway defense system!
Meanwhile, Nikon's standing beside an open manhole.
He's way down there.
Ta-da!
No brain tag. Emmanuel!
Oops. Emmanuel grabs a book from the back of a van as a technician emerges from the hole.
Hey! Truck!
The technician jumps back down the hole.
Find it?
Oh, phone's all right. Problem must be somewhere else.
At the Secret Service offices, Emmanuel emerges from between a woman's legs, wearing a yellow hard hat. Under her desk, a circuit board has been attached to a phone socket. Meanwhile, Nikon is carrying a bunch of flowers through an office while discreetly spying on people typing passwords. Plague rides by on his skateboard and the two glance at each other suspiciously before moving on. Later, Margot's in Plague's office.
They had a large chunk of the garbage file. How much do they know?
Not everything, but enough to implicate us.
You said the worm was untraceable.
Yeah, to civilians, but they're hackers. But don't worry, all we have to do is launch the Da Vinci virus, and then they'll all be put away.
Launch the Da Vinci virus? You can't do that.
No one believes the guilty. Besides, by the time they realize the truth, we'll be long gone with all of our money.
Yeah.
Look.
There is no right and wrong. There's only fun and boring. A 30-year prison sentence sounds pretty dull to me. Who do you prefer serves it? Us or them?
He looks towards the monitor on his desk, on which a flashing light is alternating between the words launch and cancel. He hits launch and activates the Da Vinci virus.
Unless $5 million are transferred to the Polydubbin account in 7 days, I will capsize 5 tankers in the Ericsson fleet.
The virus goes off tomorrow morning at 10:30, and those hackers tried to get into our system again. At this point, I insist you take more strenuous action, or Ellingson Mineral will hold the Secret Service responsible.
Agent Gill picks up a phone.
Get me arrest warrants on Kate Libby, alias Acid Burn, Emmanuel Goldstein, alias Serial Killer,
Dade Murphy, alias Crash Override, also known as
Zero Cool, and Paul Cook, alias Lord Nikon. We pick them up tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock.
Snoop on to them?
As they snoop on to us.
Nikon dials a phone number.
Yeah, it's Kate.
Hey, Burn. We got a little problem here.
Subway tracks are a blur as a train passes through a disused station, which is now home to hobos and rollerbladers. Dade and his hacker friends are riding the subway.
All right, so what do we got?
Well, we have 50 passwords plus whatever Polaroid head here got inside, Ellis.
Well, I got a lot, right? I don't know how many, but my head hurts.
Yo, check this out. Hey, what's the Da Vinci virus?
What?
Check this out. It's a memo about how they're going to deal with those oil spills that happened on the 14th.
What oil spills?
Whoa. Yo, brain dead. Today's the 13th.
Well, this hasn't happened yet.
Wait a minute, the 14th, that's the same day the worm ends its run. I mean, Da Vinci virus, didn't Freak say that's what he's being charged with? Infecting ballast programs of Ellingson tankers. They blame hackers.
Damn!
A worm and a virus? Plot thickens.
Kate grabs her rollerblades and moves towards the door.
Whoa. Where are you going, huh?
I got an idea. We've got a few hours, right, till we get arrested? So just stay low. I'm gonna go get some help. I'll beep you, okay? Are you coming?
After a moment's thought, Dade picks up his things.
May the force be with you, man.
Kate and Dade squeeze through the closing doors. TV monitors hanging from the ceiling display psychedelic computer graphics over a dance floor full of partygoers dressed in an assortment of weird outfits. Kate and Dade arrive.
There they are!
Razor and Blade? They're flakes!
They're elite!
Wading through the crowd, they slowly make their way towards the stage, where Razor and Blade are dancing in front of a large speaker. Suddenly, the entire dance floor erupts into a mosh pit when a band begins to play on stage. Caught up in the crowd, Dade looks around for Kate, but she's nowhere to be seen. Meanwhile, Razor and Blade have had enough of parading in front of an audience and brush past a burly member of security as they head backstage. When Dade climbs up on stage in an attempt to follow them, he doesn't get far. The bouncer throws him onto the moshing audience, and he's carried away along the top of the crowd. Kate's watching from the side as Dade eventually makes it to the floor and crawls to safety on his hands and knees.
I lost them! Where were you?
Dade points towards the stage, then tries to regain his composure when Kate walks away before he's had a chance to explain. Now their faces are being displayed on a stack of television monitors.
I don't like this.
He spots a robotic arm pointing a gun at him.
I definitely don't like this.
What do you want?
We come in peace?
We need your help, if you're up to it.
She's buff. Ballsy. Let's keep her. Waste the dude.
A small flame ignites at the end of the gun barrel.
The virus called Da Vinci will cause oil spills at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time tomorrow.
It's somehow connected with the worm that's stealing the money.
We need your help to overload the Gibson so we can kill the Da Vinci virus and download the worm program.
She's rabid, but cute.
See, we're very busy. A TV network that wishes to remain nameless has expressed an interest in our show. Let's go, Kate.
They head for the door.
Wait. Nobody said no. But you are going to need more than just two media icons like us. You need an army.
That's it. An electronic army. If I were us, I'd get on the internet, send out a major distress signal.
Hackers of the world, unite.
How are you going to take care of the cops?
Now Dade's sitting at a computer console in a dark room. Eyeing a button labelled Start Sequence, he closes his eyes and imagines a set of traffic lights going haywire. Nikon and Emmanuel are playing chess in Central Park.
Yo, I'm blowing up. It's Kate, Grand Central. Let's hit it!
Nikon smiles at his two opponents as he makes his final chess move. As the two hackers hit the road on their rollerblades, a car pulls away from the curb and follows them, keeping a discreet distance. When they turn a corner and are joined by Dade and Kate, Agent Gill leans out of the passenger side window. While Dade's computer counts up to 9 a.m. on the street, he looks up from his watch and eyes a red traffic light. When the computer reaches the set time and the words program running appear on the screen, every set of traffic lights on the street change from red to green. Chaos ensues, and a few near misses are followed by a double collision, which blocks the path of Agent Gill's car. The pileup proves no obstacle to the hackers, however, who simply climb over the hoods of the stricken vehicles and continue along the street. Now attempting to follow on foot, Agent Gill soon gives up, slamming his fist onto the hood of a car caught up in the traffic jam. The hackers head towards Grand Central Station. Inside, Joey's waiting for them.
Hey Joey, you made it!
Now they're at a bank of payphones.
All right, listen up. Use your best viruses to buy us some time. We have to get into Plague's file and copy the worm.
All right, there's a little tension breaker that had to be done, all right?
Serious.
Yeah?
Go fix the phones.
Roger.
You got another couple, man? Mm-hmm.
Joey, take his place.
What, me?
Take his place, man. Do it.
Cereal?
You can do it. Just do it.
David, count on. Just do it.
Ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's boot up.
They each boot up a laptop featuring personalized screensavers, then type in their respective passwords. A maze of circuitry and a subway tunnel leads to the reception desk at Ellingson Mineral. As their viruses begin to invade the Gibson, a yellow smiling face wearing an eye patch appears on every monitor in the Ellingson Mineral offices. Hapless computer operators answer the phones to phantom callers while the words, "Sit on my interface," scroll across their monitors. Margot and Plague are at the Gibson.
What is it? What's wrong?
Nothing. It's just a minor glitch.
Minor glitch with you seems to turn into a major catastrophe.
Joey launches a Cookie Monster virus.
There's a new virus in the database.
What's happening?
It's replicating, eating up memory. What do I do?
Type cookie, you idiot. I'll head him off at the pass.
We have a zero bug attacking on login and overlay file.
Run antivirus. Give me a systems display.
Now we've lost that 226. Nope, make that 10-40. And 1-6.
Die, dickweeds.
A rabbit is in the administration system.
Send a flu shot.
Rabbit, flu shot, someone talk to me.
A rabbit replicates till it overloads a file, then it spreads like cancer.
Cancer? It's the Gibson, it's finding us too fast.
Wearing a small display screen over his eye, Dade searches the vast network of files within the Gibson.
Man, there's too many garbage files. I need more time.
Meanwhile, Plague is tracing their whereabouts.
They're at Grand Central Station, lower level. Don't screw up.
No, get out of here! No. Everybody, let's move! Move it!
Dade answers the phone to Plague.
Game's over. Last chance to get out of this without a prison sentence. You're not good enough to beat me.
Yeah, maybe I'm not. We are.
Give it up.
3 minutes.
Just give it up.
Razor to Kate.
Are we fashionably late?
In London, England, a man on a laptop picks up his mobile.
Okay, let's go.
Japan.
Okay, 用意できたからやってみよう.
Готов. Поехали.
Sì, sono pronta. Andiamo.
As the message ripples across the world, the hackers stand in their public phone booths, concentrating solely on the computer screens in front of them. Passers-by stroll along, unaware of the intense activity taking place just feet away. Electrical pulses zip along circuit boards like fast-moving traffic, passing tall units that resemble skyscrapers. The world seems to revolve around the hackers' cubicles as they send probing pulses racing through the Ellingson system. Neon pink letters and numbers flash, constantly reappearing and changing position on one of the vertical blocks. Lightning flashes snake up and down the hardware on the Ellingson mainframe.
We have massive infection, multiple GPI and FSI viruses.
They're coming in from remote nodes. They're going for the colonel.
Colonel who?
The system command processor. It's the brain.
Cancer, brain cancer.
Alfred, what's going on?
Go!
Gil leads a SWAT team into Grand Central Station. They race down the stairs to the lower levels. Dade is running his fingers smoothly over his computer keyboard, gliding effortlessly through the system. The electronic pulses seem to have speeded up and race through the circuit boards at all levels. He zooms in on a scrolling list of words until he finds and selects a file entitled Garbage. The word flashes, then the screen transforms into an ethereal world of floating figurations and calculations.
I found it! I found it!
The spectral white letters and numbers drift across a background of swirling orange characters, which flow like molten lava across the screen. An orange glow illuminates Plague's face. He arrives at the garbage file moments after Dade.
This is the end, my friend. Thank you for calling.
Dade.
He got me.
Yo, Joey's getting stupid, bitch.
Come on, out of my way, my man. Joey, I need you to drop your virus, go after the worm. You're the closest. It's /workspace/garbage.
Joey arrives at the garbage file. Gil leads his team to a bank of phones, only to find the handsets dangling on their cables and a not-in-service sign tacked to the front. Joey is copying the contents of the garbage file onto disk. The information on the screen has gone beyond letters and numbers, and instead has formed a looping coil of fossil-like strands. The image is primeval, looking similar to a strand of DNA.
Ha!
Yeah, right. Good job.
Kill the Gibson.
Roger that.
Razor hangs up.
Come on, you son of a bitch. Is that all you got, huh? Come on, let's see what else you can do. You talking to me? Huh? Are you nuts? Come at me.
You're in the kernel.
Hangers are stopped capsizing.
The ballast tanks are empty. Should be okay.
As Plague watches his whole plan go awry, Dade types a message, which appears on the Ellingson mainframe. It reads, "Arf, arf, we gotcha. Mess with the best. Die like the rest."
Piss it.
Electrical sparks surge through the system, bringing it to a crashing halt. Dade and Kate hug each other excitedly.
Yes!
Let's get out of here.
Freeze!
The hackers find themselves surrounded. Joey is the only one who puts his hands up. Now, as Dade is being led out with his hands cuffed behind his back, he tosses the disc with the garbage file on it into a bin. Outside, he spots Emmanuel in disguise.
Keep it moving. Come on, what are you waiting on?
They're trashing our rights, man! They're trashing the floor data! They're trashing! 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 Hike the planet! Hike the planet!
Shut up and get in the car!
Hike the planet! Hike the planet!
Later, Emmanuel finds the disc in the bin. Gil is on the phone with Plague.
Hello.
We caught him. Cut. Red-handed. You won't be having any more trouble from them.
At Ellingson, Plague and Margot drink a triumphant champagne toast. Dade and Kate are in an interview room.
Me, all right? I did it.
By your attitude. Because you are floating, and I'm about to flush your ass.
We've got a Mrs. Murphy to see you, sir.
Gil glares at the hackers from the door before leaving.
Are you crazy? What are you doing?
I'm trying to help you.
She looks away.
Dade.
What?
Thanks for your help.
Dade presses a button on an intercom and hears Gil talking with his mother.
Your son is in big trouble. He has violated his probation and he has engaged in criminal activity.
My son happens to be a genius. He understands something happening today that you won't comprehend if you live to be 100, and he would never use what he knows to harm a living soul.
The news crew you requested is here?
Oh, good, because I have a few things to tell them.
Your son is facing 30 felony counts in an ongoing investigation. You face possible arrest if you do that.
Mister, I don't care if I face certain death.
Mrs. Murphy stays right here.
Oh, wow, she's great.
Yeah.
And attack the Ellingson's computer network. Mm-hmm. Is this the last we've seen of this type of high-tech espionage?
Well, I'm afraid not. Hackers are a grave threat to the national security. This incident just proves, without a doubt, that we need increased funding to stop this.
Hold on, I'm getting into
Hola, boys and girls. It is I, the serial killer, making my first coast-to-coast, worldwide, global television appearance. Yes, that's right. I'm here to tell you about this heinous scheme hatched from within Ellingson Mineral. But for what, you ask?
World domination? Nay.
Something far more attacking. A virus called Da Vinci that, when launched, would cause Ellingson Mineral tankers to capsize, was to be blamed on innocent hackers.
But this virus was really the smokescreen, right? What could be so vitally important to protect that someone would create such a nasty, antisocial, very uncool virus program? But why? Could it be to cover the tracks of this worm program? A worm that was to steal 25 million bucks. The password for this hungry little sucker belongs to Margot Waltz, head of public relations for Ellingson Mineral, and Eugene Belfort, computer security officer.
Son of a bitch!
What's this? Is this the unnamed account in the Bahamas where the money was to be stashed? I think so.
Unlucky!
Yo, kind of feel like God.
Emmanuel's on every TV in the country.
Plague? Eugene!
Plague's done a runner.
I'm here, buddy.
At the police station, Dade and Lauren hug. Now Margot.
Comedy of errors. I don't even know how to work a VCR, let alone a computer. Get off! Look, listen, I'll make a deal. Eugene Belford. I know where his mother is. I promise you. Get off of me. I need a lawyer.
Now, a stewardess hands a drink to a woman in a plane flying high in the sky.
Mr. Babbage. Flight time to Tokyo should be about 14 hours today. Can I get you anything else?
Just a pillow, please.
Sure.
Plague's disguised as an old man. A pillow is put behind his head.
Thank you.
Gil.
You're welcome.
What's going on? Let go of me! Stewardess! I'll never fly this airline again!
Now, Dade and Kate are walking through a park at night. They playfully goad each other, sharing flirtatious smiles.
You look good in a dress.
You would have looked better.
Dade pauses, and they turn to face each other.
Wanna go for a swim?
Now the two of them are floating fully clothed in turquoise water.
I can't believe they decided you won.
They didn't. Guys felt it was the only way I'd get a date. Anyway, you're pretty good. You're elite.
Yeah? You know, if you would have said so in the beginning, you would have saved yourself a whole lot of trouble.
They tread water. Then turn to see the lights and the city buildings opposite form the words, crash and burn.
Beat that!
He smiles to see the delight in her eyes.
You know, I've been having really weird
dreams.
She lunges forward, and they become locked in a passionate embrace. Still kissing, they sink beneath the water.
Dreams escape from the fear built inside. In this heart, bring me home, cast a net. Far and wide, return to the night. Mask of front, cast away. Give me love.
Don't care what the world has to say.